Got it. Okay, let's all stand on our feet, and we're just going to read verses 1 and 2. We're going to take it nice and slow in these books. Huh? Yeah. Why is that silly? What? Oh, okay.
It's already a short book.
It's already a short book.
If we do it this slow, it's 3 minutes.
If we do it this slow, it'll literally take us less than a month to get through both of them. I did the math. The elder. Dale did the math. The elder. To the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us all, will be with us forever. Dear Lord, we thank you for this new series that we're about to dive into. We pray that you would guide us as we go through it, soften our hearts to whatever you have for us to grow deeper in and to understand more. We pray that there'd be no distractions in this room, that we could just fully focus on you with all that we are. And I ask that you'd fill me with your spirit to speak your word to your people, and that we would have a clear understanding of what you have for us tonight. We pray this in your name. All God's people said, amen. Okay, so we're going to open up with a pop quiz. Just kidding. It's not a quiz, but I'm going to have you raise your hands if you agree, or if you're like, if you are, raise your hand, and if you're not, don't. So, and it is a very trick question, so just go with it. Don't overthink it. How many of you know the truth? Think about it. Process it. Okay. You guys are already... Okay. How many of you think that people who have a different truth are wrong? Raise your hands. Okay. Mixed feelings on that one. That's okay. How many of you think that people who have different truths can still be right in their own way? So confused. I'm going to give you like 5 more seconds on that one. Okay. Okay, I'm going to take that as a raised hand. How many of you think that truth is relative? So what's right to me can be wrong to someone else, but if they have something else right, as long as it's true to them, it's true. So what I think is true can be different than what you think is true, and as long as we all think it's true, it's true. So is truth relative? Yes, I'm trying to get you into philosophy. You guys are Christians. Christians are philosophers deep down inside. It's built into your DNA. What do you guys think? No? So am I getting no raise? Truth is not relative, or truth is? Yes, truth is relative. So depending on who, people can have different truths. Okay. So in case you haven't figured it out yet, we're going to be talking about truth tonight. Did I just blow your mind? But before we get into it, I'm gonna kind of introduce you to the second epistle of John. That just is a fancy way of saying the second letter from John. So here we are. We're in the second letter. It's a pretty short book of the Bible. The writer of this letter is none other than John. Yes. Whoa, John wrote it. And it's self-titled. It's like his second self-titled letter. So what we know about John is he was a disciple of Jesus. He was a fisherman previously. Jesus said, come follow me. And then his brother James hopped up, left their company, and they were like, okay. But what's a little different about John is he was a very close friend to Jesus. Later on, we see that John, James, and Peter, they become like the inner three who become really close to Jesus. Jesus ends up taking them on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they're like these are the three disciples that Jesus considered his closest friends, that he poured into the most, because he couldn't give all 12 the equal amount of time, because that's a lot of people to give a lot of time to. So these brothers, James and John, we know them as, does anybody know what we know them as? Yes.
Thunder,
the sons of thunder. That's how you gotta say it. The sons of thunder. Like, I feel like they'd walk on the scene and Jesus would be like, hey, the sons of thunder. So, yeah. At the time that John wrote
this letter,
he was actually the oldest and last living apostle that spent personal time with Jesus. So he was like the last of his kind in a way. I mean, there were Christians all around, but he was the last one who still actually had spent time with Jesus. Now, you may be wondering, is this in continuation of our In Light and In Love series that we did like 2.5 or 3 months ago? No, this is completely disconnected. Really, like, the focus of this new epistle is on something totally different. It focuses more on truth. And it's all about what truth is in the church. This is because at the time when he wrote this, there was a group of false teachers that were going from church to church, and they were preaching their belief system. And these people were called Gnostics. And they believed that Jesus, either he was not a real human, so he, because he claimed to be God, they believed that God and flesh could not mix because, like, that didn't make sense to them. So they believed either Jesus wasn't real, he just appeared to be real, or they believed that when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God came upon him, and then it left before he was crucified. Pretty strange. And this teaching, it destroys the power of the gospel that we as Christians believe in. It destroys the victory that Jesus accomplished. So John is like, he's like exhorting these people like crazy. And he's like, here's something that's way wrong, and you need to understand it, and you need to call it out. So today we're going to start out building our foundation. Like, this is the foundation that we're going to set as we build upon going through this book. So our foundation is just going to be looking at truth. We can't start to address truth until we have a really clear and correct understanding of what truth is. So if you're taking notes, we're going to look at two main things today. We're going to look at what is truth, and then two, what is the truth. Whoa, hear the difference? It's subtle, but it might save your life. What is truth, and what is the truth? Wow. So first we're going to look at what is truth, and this is a very tough subject. This is something that college classes devote a whole semester to trying to figure it out, and then usually by the end of that class, they're like, really, we'll never know, but this is what we assume. So it's a pretty big task that we've taken on upon ourselves, but we're going to do our best to get the literal definition of truth and the way we as Christians, what we should view and understand truth as. So literally, a definition of something that is true is, this is the dictionary.com definition, being in accordance with the actual state or conditions, conforming to reality or fact, or it's something that is not false. So a very important aspect of truth is the fact that all truths have a false antithesis. So let me explain what that means. So do you guys know what a thesis is? Have you guys learned that yet in school? Yeah, thesis. So that's like your main point. So if my thesis is all dogs are cute, and then so the antithesis of that, or the antithesis, is no dogs are cute, and that is false. Am I right? Can I get an amen? So an antithesis is the opposite of something that is true. And in all cases, if it's truth, the antithesis, or the opposite of it, is false. So let me give you a pretty practical example. I am going to say with confidence that this wall is green. Now imagine, I feel like Eden would be the one. Eden is like, this wall is not green. And she's very passionate about it. This wall is not green. And I'm like, it's green. It's a fact. And so her saying the opposite or the antithesis makes her wrong. It's false. You guys picking up what I'm putting down? You feeling me? Feeling it? So this is like the standard of truth. This is the way people used to once process truth. But sadly, this is no longer the norm in our culture, and it's no longer the norm in education and in philosophy. So you gotta track with me. It's gonna be a little deep, But once you get it, your mind's gonna be like blown. So let me take you on a little walk down history lane. Any historians in here? Loving history. Okay, I do not like history, but it's useful. So a long time ago, philosophers used to try to logically explain everything by drawing one big theory that would cover and explain everything. So their goal was to take one big theory that was true and cover everything. And so this led to a philosopher doing that, and then a new philosopher would come and do his own big theory and cross out the old one. And then a new philosopher would come and do his own big theory and then cross out the other one because he had to be wrong. And then a new philosopher would come and do his own big theory and then cross it out. And they would do this for, not forever, but for a very, very long time. And then slowly, philosophers begin to realize that they would never find one true explanation that would cover everything that they could all agree on. So what did they do? Instead of continuing to try to do it, instead of continuing to find what is truth, they shifted the definition of truth. They shifted it. And this was the birth of modern man. Dun, dun, dun. It's actually very shocking. It's intriguing. And so now, we find ourselves in a place where I can be looking at a green wall and I can say, this wall is green. And then Eden can say, this wall is not green. And we can both be completely true. It sounds weird. And I know it does. It sounds strange. And obviously we wouldn't normally apply it to things like a green wall. But we would apply it to things like sin. So I could say, getting drunk is wrong. And then another person could say, getting drunk is how I express myself. And it's not wrong. And we'd say, it's truth to me. But then a lot of people would say, that's truth to them. And as long as they don't try to make me believe that, as long as you don't try to make me believe that, we can just go on in peace and harmony and complete beauty. It's crazy! I mean, this is where we find ourselves today. And it's a very, very common, I don't know if you would call it belief, but it's a very, very common stance that many of us can naturally take because of the way our culture is. Yes, sir?
What about the honest and difficult
people still believe that? Yeah, that's why debates can be so difficult to kind of take off, because it's still, you're not arguing about what I believe, you're arguing about what you believe, and so why can't we just both believe different things and both be right, even though neither of us are agreeing on something? Yes, Chloe?
You mean like some person say, I believe in Buddha, and some person
say,
they don't believe?
Yeah, and instead of saying that the belief in Buddha is going to bring you to a place in mind one day where you are at complete rest and peace and entering into full nirvana, instead of saying Buddha won't do that, they just say, okay, I believe something different. And we can both be right, but we're both got different beliefs. But it hasn't always been like that, and it shouldn't be like that. So, as Christians, we have to be really careful not to depart from the literal definition of what truth is. So we can't depart from that realization that truth is something that if it's not that, then it's wrong. And it's so easy to just say things that are different, things that disagree with my point of view, they're not wrong. They just have different beliefs. They just have different understandings. They're Jesus, yeah, he's not God, but they still believe, they still go to church. You know, they don't believe that Jesus saves, they believe that good works save, but they're still trying to do good things. But we really need to realize that truth is truth. And if it's antithesis, if there's an opposite of that, it is false. So if there's an opposite of what's true, then it's false. And this can play out in many things. It can play out in sins. So, like the sin of homosexuality, there's a lot of people in the world that say it's a natural thing that every human should be able to choose and act upon. And if you say that's wrong, ooh, you've fired some people up. Some people are very mad that you would say that's wrong, because to them, it's a natural human right that they might even say God created them with. And so we need to go to a point where we say, in the Bible it says that homosexuality is wrong, and if you're twisting that in any way, your view is false. And it's not prideful for us to look at people with different views as false. It's prideful if we go up to them and say, you're stupid for believing that and I'm smart. But it's justified and righteous to look at people with different views that go against scripture, that go against the truth, and acknowledge their views as false. So, is that pretty clear of what truth is? You guys feeling me? So truth is, I mean, it's the truth. I mean, and anything that's opposite is false. If truth is, by saying truth is the truth, I mean like, we're going to go into what is the truth. Sorry, okay. So that brings us to our second point. What is the truth? So we know what truth is. We know that truth is something that its opposite is false. So if I say, my dog Zion is a Great Dane, and you say, my dog Zion is not a Great Dane, you are false completely. And always, there's nothing you can do to convince me you're true. No matter how passionately you believe that my dog Zion is not a Great Dane, I know it to be truth that she is. So now we know what is truth, but what is the truth? So we've got three very important things that make up the truth. First of all, the Sunday school answer, you know it. Jesus! In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So Jesus is kind of like a key to eternity. And he is the only key. He's the only way to eternity. If people say they're getting to heaven by doing good things, if people say they're getting to heaven by following whatever belief system it would be, or by not doing bad things, they are false. Because Jesus is the only way, and the only truth, and the only life. And nobody can get to the Father, no one can get to heaven, except through him. No one has access to God, except by Jesus. The second thing that is truth, or the truth, is the Spirit. In John 14:17, so a little later on in that chapter, we see, he is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is kind of like our daily God-given reminder of the truth, that the truth is there, and that the truth is a real thing that is not natural in us. You know, not everybody has a thing that shows them when they're about to do something wrong that it's wrong and that they shouldn't do it, or when they've done something wrong that they need to apologize, or when they've been wrong that they need to forgive, because those aren't natural things. That's only from the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we see that Jesus, he's the key to eternity, the only key. If people are trying to tell you they've got another key figured out, they're false, because there's only one truth. The Spirit is our daily reminder. And then the third truth is the Bible. In John 17:17, we got a whole lot of, John's speaking to us a lot tonight. It says, teach them the word, which is truth. So the Bible is like a dictionary of truth that you can go to at any time and find the truth. I watched a video today. It was called, What is Truth? ? Well, I can have a question mark at the end. And it was this guy who was basically trying to explain what actual truth is, what it means from a logical standpoint, and like how we can grasp truth. And like at one point in the movie, or the video, he was like, I could look at the moon and say it's round, but there's a lot of things that I need to take into consideration with that, because that's just my conscious noticing something round. So then I have to realize, is the conscious real? Is the perception real? Is it an optical illusion? Am I just like a machine plugged into something that's interpreting something else? And these are things that people are really asking themselves. And he said, the only way to really figure this out would be if I could step out of my conscious mind and realize what's really happening. And the Bible steps out of our conscious mind and into eternity and shows us the truth. That's crazy to me. There's people who would just give everything to step outside of what they think they're processing and realize what's happening on the grand spectrum. What's eternity say? And the Bible takes us from the beginning all the way to the end and shows us God's plan, shows us the direction God wanted us to go, shows us how man failed, shows us how we were redeemed, shows us how we can be saved. It's incredible. And it takes us to a place that we as humans could never have conjured up on our own. It takes us to an understanding that without Christ, we cannot comprehend, but it's only by the word of God that we can. It's an incredible thing. I think it's really cool. So Jesus, he's the key to eternity, the one and only key. You can't get that key copied. I don't care what hardware store you go to. I don't care who you know. You cannot get that key copied. The Spirit, it's our daily reminder. It's always there in our pocket, not in our pocket, in our heart. The Bible, that's that dictionary that we can go to and always find the truth. So as we come to a close, I want to end in some little bit of practical application, because I don't want you guys to leave here and think that every time you hear somebody with a different view, that you need to crush them down to their core. That was like me in kindergarten. Every time someone told me that Santa Claus was a thing, I literally sent little kindergartners home crying because I shattered their faith. And we don't need to do that. No, no, no. What we really need to do is, instead of looking out and how we can crush people's false interpretations of life, we need to look in. And we need to cling to the truth. And we need to realize that there's a lot of things in this world that want to switch up our definition of truth. There's a lot of things that want to be our truth. They want us to get off of Jesus. They want us to get off of the Spirit and off of the Bible and focused on something like saving whales. Like, saving whales is life. They want us to focus on, like, a college education. You will go nowhere in life without a college education. That's what the culture will say to a lot of people, and that's not true. Jesus can take you way farther than a college education would ever take you. And I think college is a great tool, and if you have the opportunity, you should be a good steward of that and use it to honor God. But there's way bigger things God can have in store for you, and it could include college or may not. There's a lot of things that the culture wants us to get stuck on. There's a lot of things that our enemy, the devil, wants us to realize as truth that is not truth, it's false. And so we, as Christians, we need to passionately cling to the only truths that are present in this world, and that's Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. I think it's incredible knowledge that we as Christians have to say we have the answer to truth. We don't have to, like philosophers did back then. We don't have to try within our limited understanding, within the limits of logic and rationality. We don't have to try to draw this circle that encompasses things we can't comprehend and then give an explanation for it that makes everybody happy. Imagine the pressure that real people in this world are dealing with every day. And we can open up God's word anytime, any place, and have all of these questions answered. And that is the truth. And the truth will set you free. That was really cheesy. I'm sorry. Okay, so we're going to pray. And then we're going to, in honor of truth, we're going to play a trivia game. It's going to be extreme trivia, though. Dear Lord, we thank you for truth. We thank you that we can count on the fact that what we read in Scripture, what we hear from your word, what we hear from your Holy Spirit, and what Jesus displayed in his life on planet Earth, we can know that that is true. And anything that goes against that, anything that tries to trump that or tries to compete with that, we can know that it is false, Lord. We know that you, Jesus, are the one way. You are the one truth. in life. And we love you so much, Father. So we pray that you would teach us to cling to truth, Lord, and to let go of all the things in this world that are trying to pull for our attention, pull for our trust, pull for our faith, and help us to put our faith completely in you. For you are so worthy, and you are the only thing worthy of our trust and our love and our faith in this world. So we surrender afresh to you. We ask that you would bless the rest of our night, and we pray all this in your name. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. All right, so girls, you need to get in that back corner. Guys, you need to get in that back corner, and then spread out these rows. Spread them out, like part it like the ocean.